Well, good morning, everyone. What a time to be alive, huh? Seems like every day there's new news and stuff going on. Okay, I hope I didn't just mess this up. Let's see, how's that looking? Did we lose the signals? Let this intro go here for a minute. Sorry about it, Jess. I think it turned off that monitor again. I don't know what's happening. And the girls need that to sing. It's on? It's not sending a signal. Okay, girls, use this. We'll use this here. There you go. Okay.
Right? No fall protection.
That signal actually isn't supposed to be going right now, so I think it's fine. They're just going to see the. Who's ever online? Hang on here. We're working through technical difficulties.
We're learning.
We're learning.
In a COVID world.
In a COVID world. All right. So, Gay, would you come up and just pray for a second? Just open the service and I can finish this. A long prayer. No, it's good to go. I just think it'd be better if you. But pray.
Pray, Gay.
Hello, family. I'm so excited to see everybody's face live and up close and personal with masks on. So we are so excited that the Lord is still moving in the earth and he's still in charge. Amen. And we just pray today that you would just be generous with us, because he's been working on this pretty much for weeks and trying to get this where it's at. But we never know how it's going to go, but God does, and he rules and he reigns. So, Father, we come to you this morning thanking you, God, that each one of us had the opportunity not only to wake up and get up, but to be able to join together here today. In your name and in your presence, Lord. Thank you, God. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Father, you are above all, but you love us so much you would have come down into man and blessed us with your presence within us, God. So, Father, help us to know that you have called us to be special and unique, different. But Father, help your love to shine forth through everything that we do. Be with us today as we worship you the best way we know how, and be blessed somehow through that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good prayer, babe.
In my heart, I want to see you. I want
all the haze and all the conflict. We want to see.
Your love is the world. Yeah. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Savior's love through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. My anchor holds within me. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
I'm going to use the mic here for a second. Thank you guys for being gracious and patient and allowing us this growing moment. The reason we're doing this is because while we were in the COVID experience, and we still are, but the initials of it, we didn't know, how long it was going to go. And so we started the Zoom meetings, and they have served a great purpose. And I don't know, I actually haven't gotten on yet. Here, let's see here. Roger and Cindy. Okay. Well, hi, Roger and Cindy. Can't hear you right yet, so hang on here a second. But part of the situation is that we got some individuals that have been attending who are like out of town, and they're like members. They are enjoying themselves, and so we wanted to make sure that when we got back together, that we could still allow them to participate. Well, we have never really been designed like as a multimedia church. And so the Zoom was pretty simple because Zoom is just created that way. It's pretty simple. You just, you can log in. And as you guys know, I mean, we're going, you know. But this, however, not so much. And so what's going to happen probably once I log in here, it's going to start to try to do feedback. And so let me see here. Yeah, it's just Roger and Cindy and Jesse. So hi, Roger and Cindy. Yeah, see what we start getting? Feedback. That's what's happening. So I don't know if it can happen. Do you think it can happen?
They can see us, but we can't see them.
So Roger and Cindy. Are you guys okay if you don't see us today? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you.
Are you okay then? I can hear you. Say hi to everyone.
Hello. Good morning.
And Cindy, you're feeling better?
Ask if they can see us.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Cindy.
That's not it. Okay. Yeah, but it's a good idea. The problem is.
So, hallelujah. No echo.
Yeah, no echo.
And I should be on here in a second. The problem is that when we have a system that is basically hearing my voice and then it's coming back through the system. So. Well, that mic's off. That's the thing. Yeah, that's the weird part. So anyway, what we ended up doing was just Roger and Cindy can hear us. We can't see them. And Jesse let them know. And they're good?
I let them know.
Okay, good. And so hi, Roger and Cindy. I know you can hear us, but next week we'll make it so you can see us if you want to. So all right, so let's go ahead and get into the Word. Make sure this works here. Oh, that's cool. Look at that. That really cut down. It seems like all of the settings.
So while he's trying to find that, what I'd like to say is, and I want to say it out loud so everybody hears it, and if anybody has a problem, they can talk to me afterwards, but the kids are great. Do not worry about them at all. They're running around, they're yelling and screaming, who cares? Children are a blessing from the Lord. So do not worry about anything. Huh?
Me. I'm the worst, but yeah.
I'm talking about all kids, all children. Yeah. We love these children. So you know, let Lele run up and down. We don't care. It does not bother us. We just don't want her to get hurt. That's all. Huh?
Well, they're a little older.
Yeah. They would really be a little concerned if they were running it back and forth at that point, but the babies are fine. So I don't want anybody to worry about it.
So just make sure they don't hurt themselves.
Hurt themselves, yeah, that's what key. I said. Right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. It's been quite the last 6 months, hasn't it?
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Yeah. Has it been 6 months? It's almost 7 months now, isn't it?
Yep.
Crazy. But
7 months.
You know, one thing that we discovered, if nothing else I discovered during our journey with the Zoom time, is that when we were gathering virtually online, I continued to say, listen, we're not just gathering in a virtual space. We're gathering in the kingdom of God in heaven because we are saints of God and our hearts were connecting. Our faith was connecting, and so it was able to supersede what the effects would be of just being on a technology-based call. It wasn't the same as somebody who was doing a meeting that was just meeting with somebody in their corporate office and somebody across, you know, the country so that they could communicate. We were gathering in Christ,
yeah.
And so God was able to work in that through our faith, because when we gather together, like I said, hopefully we're not just gathering physically. Hopefully we're not just gathering, you know, with our bodies. We're gathering in the Spirit, realizing that it's in the Spirit that it counts. That whether you feel like you're changing when you come to church, if you come by faith, you can be transformed. And it can be something that affects your life 20 years from now. And it was because you approach this moment by faith, just like we approach our time online by faith. I enjoy being able to gather together. I wish it was a little less hectic, but nonetheless, nobody died, as I always tell my kids. You know, like when something goes wrong, well, nobody died, so it's not. I think it's not that bad, you know. Even though it was really pretty bad, I would always it kind of put it into perspective. So last week we started teaching on the principle of my kingdom is not of this world. And the reason for it was there is a mindset that is in the Christian world, frankly, and in the religious world, that that politics have to go and government have to go a certain way to be blessed, for our lives to be okay. And even though we do want to make sure that, you know, we have the best leaders that we can possibly vote for and all of those things, there still is the dynamic that, as Jesus said, and we discovered last week, that our kingdom isn't of this world. Mm-hmm. That we're not bound by the earthly governments to give us our hope or give us our even meet our needs or be our source. Even though there is a great blessing when a government, you know, is seeking after the Lord. I don't know what I just did.
is this recording?
No, it's not recording, but I don't know what it just did. Weird things happening. Hang on just a second. You guys are seeing
it cut off. Hang on just a moment. I'm going to teach this stuff to Jesse or somebody so that in case during a service that I don't have to. I know it's already running. Did it fix it? No.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. Good.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually said, I didn't vote for him to be my spiritual leader. I voted for him to be my political leader, and there is a difference.
Yeah, there is. And it's not that we don't want. I mean, it's not that we're not desirous of having somebody, whoever it would may be, that would be someone that would be seeking after God's best for our country. I mean, that would be good. That would be great. But there's people who are living in communist countries right now who are thriving in God. They are thriving. In some ways, they're thriving more than us.
Yeah.
Because they have to rely on him more. And so...
Would you share that story that you shared about the day of the election and all of that? I think that really will set this up. I mean, I know you told it last week, but I think it'd be good.
Oh, you mean when I was...
The prayer meeting with the leaders.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because some of you weren't here last week.
Yeah, I think this will set the tone.
Back in 2012, I was part of a prayer group in Yakima. I didn't feel qualified for it. I don't know why they asked me to be part of it, you know, but I was part of these individuals, and these are like major prayer warriors. These are people that would get together and they'd go places and they would pray. And, you know, when someone got shot in the city, they would go to the site and they would pray over multiple days. So these were people of faith, and they believed God that he was going to be able to change things. And so, I had gotten into the meeting late that night. It was November, I think it was November 3rd. I think it was the 3rd on 2012. And I walked in and there were like six or eight people in there. And again, all major prayer people. And I walked in and I thought I had walked in like on a funeral. Because they were just like, and I'm like, oh my goodness, somebody must have died. You know, because there were a few people that were older and sick and I thought somebody had died. And I go, well, what's wrong? President Obama was reelected. And I looked at him very puzzled. I said, yeah, he was reelected. I kind of figured he would. And they go like, oh, but I mean, it's going to be horrible. And I mean, they were just, I'm like, okay, hold on a moment. I said, President Obama is not our God. President Obama is not our future and our hope. Oh, God is our future and our hope. And I just tried to encourage them, you know, in the Lord. And It wasn't me 20-something years ago now, in 2000, when, and I talked about this, the Hanging Chad incident came up, where George W. Bush and Al Gore at the time were both basically in a neck-and-neck race for president. And it went on till like in December, like mid-December. I think it was just before the first of the year that finally Bush won. And it was down to like, them holding up on like an overhead and looking at these punch cards and saying, okay, who'd the vote go for? In a courtroom with a jury. And I was watching it like every single night and I was like, you know, oh, I want Bush to win.
Okay, wait,
know?
I do want to interrupt here to say this. If any of y'all have been around him long enough and know him intimately enough, you'll know that when he gets like zoned in on something, it's like a dog with a bone and he's not letting go. And it's hours of watching the news and hours of hearing him ranting and I can't believe this. And that's what he's talking about. It wasn't just for a second. It wasn't just for a minute. It was for a long minute and more. I mean, it was forever. And he was just like not letting it go and not letting it go and not letting it go. Okay, now you can finish.
Yeah, and so what ended up happening is after the election, I was really feeling kind of bummed and like down. And I was like, ugh, I just don't feel good. And like, Lord, I kind of just don't have any, like, where's my joy and everything? And he said, well, what have you been watching? And I'm like, oh, I've been watching the news and stuff like that. He says, kind of put in my heart, garbage in, garbage out, you know. And so I went ahead and I just cut that stuff off. And so
It took a while to get out of your system.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks. But I mean, all of a sudden I realized, hey, I don't feel all heavy and down anymore. So that all being said, to say that we can let our natural circumstances, whether it be our condition as a family going through a trial, loss of job, loss of loved ones, we can let the circumstances rule us. And that ends up becoming a weight to our heart. You know, it's a heaviness. And it's hard to, you know, seek God, and it's hard to seek His kingdom and His righteousness when you're heavy like that. It really is. And so I guess what this whole expression is trying to tell us, you know, in this communication, is that just as Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, our kingdom is not of this world. That we are, we're aliens, we're foreigners, we're sojourners. You know, this is not our home. And yeah, Let's go ahead and look at it. So let's go ahead and read these through the verses last week pretty quickly.
Okay. The first one is Luke 1:30-33 in the New King James Version. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Okay, and then also Isaiah 9:6-7.
"For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
Just have to trust this. That's what it says. So here we have, in these two scriptures, these were prophetic scriptures about Jesus, both in the book of Luke, which is a prophecy from earlier that's being fulfilled by the angel speaking to her, and then Isaiah. And so what we have is the communication that Jesus has a government, and that his government has no end. It will run on forever and ever and ever and ever. And so we're part of that government now. And then looking at John 6:12-15, we're going over this quickly because we went over this last week. I've got to get to where we're at today. So
when everyone was satisfied, Jesus told his disciples, "Now go back and gather up the pieces left over so that nothing will be wasted." The disciples filled up 12 baskets of fragments, a basket of leftovers for each disciple. All the people were astounded as they saw with their own eyes the incredible miracle Jesus had performed. They began to say among themselves, "He really is the one, the true prophet we've been expecting." So Jesus, knowing that they were about to take him and make him their king by force, quickly left and went up the mountainside alone.
So here we see that Jesus, after he fed the 5,000, that the people were so amazed and so, like, oh my goodness, this is a prophet. This must be the main prophet. Because you guys have to realize that during Jesus' time, they were expecting Messiah. In the timeline that they had understood as rabbinical teaching, it was the time of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And to them, the Jews believed that the Messiah never came for whatever reason. But he came. He was Jesus. And so they're hearing, you know, and seeing all these miracles and seeing the 5,000 just now fed, so they're ready to take him and make him the king of the Jews. And he heard that, and what did he do? Nope. It's not my place to be the king of the earthly Jews.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I hope this is okay, Eric and Nancy. I have something I feel that God wants you to hear. In this particular scripture, It talks about feeding the 5,000 people. And these were people that some of them knew Jesus and some of them didn't know Jesus. And some of them were curious about Jesus. And some of them were just wanting to see what the big deal was. But he had enough left over for his disciples. Do you understand what I'm saying to the two of you? There's always going to be enough for you. He already has it planned out. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry about it. It's not something that needs to be fretted over for the two of you as a family. You don't need to do that. If he's going to feed the common people, he's going to feed his disciples. He's going to have enough left for his people that he's intimate with.
Amen.
Amen.
I receive that too. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, I don't want just leftovers, though. I want the fresh stuff,
too. I'm not saying, yeah, but that was the same. It was picked up what wasn't eaten.
Right.
It wasn't really leftovers, because it's not like the people are the ones that multiplied the food. It was Jesus.
Right. Yep. 12 baskets, enough for all the disciples. That's a good point. John 18:33-36.
Then Pilate went back inside the palace. He called for Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "Is that your own question? Or did other people tell you about me?" Pilate said, "I'm not a Jew. It was your own people and their leading priest who brought you before me. What have you done wrong?" Jesus said, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If it did, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jewish leaders. No, my kingdom is not an earthly one."
Oh boy, see right there? My kingdom does not belong to this world. Now, it's easy for us as Christians to say, well, that's Jesus. Jesus was going to go and, you know, sit next to the Father, you know, seated at his right hand and have all authority that's been given to him. So that's Jesus. And so it's difficult sometimes for us to relate, because we think our kingdom is like of this world, because everything seems so tangible and so real. You know, this iPad, this desk, and it seems like what reality is, but this is what is called the temporal realm. And Paul even said, don't fix your eyes on this temporal realm. And when he's talking about eyes, he's talking about our main eyes of our heart. Fix your eyes on the unseen realm, that the realm that is eternal. Because that's what really matters. That's why living a life for God, when it goes against the grain, when it goes against the normalcy of life, you know, most people, you know, go and do whatever they do on the weekends or during the week, or they don't have anything governing, you know, their actions or their conduct, because they're not in his kingdom. And so for them, the pleasures of life are all they have to have pleasure. Now, God didn't mean it for it to be that way, but right, that's the way it was before I knew Jesus. It was the pleasures of life help me disconnect and help me anesthetize the problems. But now we have God. And that's because our kingdom isn't of this world.
Right.
That's why when we focus on his kingdom and his righteousness and his love and his truth and his peace, all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, peace rules and reigns our hearts. We're comforted. We're not full of conflict all the time.
And that's why it says the dog that you feed is going to be the strongest one.
That's right. Yeah.
Because if I'm feeding, and I'm going to tell you, I dealt with this just last night. This is not something that is uncommon. I sat in my living room over at the house over here, and everybody else had gone to bed, and I was fighting flesh. Like, I just wanted to go down in a hole. I was arguing with myself, and I was looking at the temporal. I was looking at everything and how tired I am and all of those things. And I went to bed feeling that way. And that I wished I could have received this last night, because I would have gone to bed in a whole different set of circumstances. And I woke up so many times in the night wanting to pray and trying to pray and begging God to help my mind to be on things above and not right here. And this morning, as I'm sitting in that chair right there, and I'm listening to practice, it was like God said, what are you looking at? What are you feeding and eating on?
Christ alone.
Is it Christ alone?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it all that other stuff that you're getting full on and there's no room for him in there because you filled yourself up with all that negativity? And I just had to sit there and say, God, forgive me. Like, I'm just so bad. I'm a bad girl. You know, I'm
naughty.
Naughty girl. That's right. Naughty. It's not something that we all don't have in our lives, always pressuring us. But let me just say, it is Christ alone, you guys. He is the cornerstone of everything that we do and everything that we are. Again, this is just such a short, minute amount of all eternity for us.
Yeah.
What are we concentrating on? Who are we looking at? Poor me? Or is it Jesus who gave his very life for me? Rose again so that there would be a miracle in the life that he gave to me. And for me. That's a miracle. It's scandalous what he did. I love that word. It was because nobody else wanted to do that. Or would have been willing to do that. And even he in that garden. There was a dark time there. But he was able to say, no, God, your will be done here. I give it all to you. And we have to do that, you guys. And he's going to make everything else line up. He's going to let the rest come and the peace flow and the power reign and his glory shine. He's going to do all of those things for us because he loves us, because he doesn't want to see us struggle. He doesn't want it to always be a negative. He didn't call us and save us for us to have a ho-hum life until we get to heaven. But how many of us accept that as part of our daily bread? No, that's not what he wanted for us at all.
Amen. Yeah, he has set a banqueting table for us. And it's even in the presence of our enemies. So it means that he wants to have us feast in front of our enemies to show how much he loves us. And who's our enemy? The enemy of our soul is the kingdom of darkness. The Satan and all his minions. But there's a dynamic now that I want to follow through with the rest during this time is in that there is a truth that we are not of this world and that our kingdom is not of this world. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 11. And this is in the Message 8 through 10. Go ahead, babe.
I think if we only read the first 5 words, it would be good enough. By an act of faith.
Yeah. Call it good?
Call it good.
Okay, we're done.
Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God.
Doesn't that really explain why Abraham was able to go through basically a full wilderness life? He was in a place where obviously Abraham had wealth and must have had some kind of security. And God asked him to leave all of that for an unknown place that he would show him. And so he lived in a place that ended up eventually becoming Israel today. But he lived in it when it wasn't his. He lived in it when it was owned by someone else. He lived in it when it was another land. It was the Canaan land. But he went and he occupied that land because that's what God told him he would own. Now, it wasn't him. It wasn't even his son. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even his son's son. How many years did it take? 400 years before the Jews finally went in and took the promised land. And God had to have the first batch wait in the desert 40 years because they weren't ready to receive it. And so what is being communicated here is a truth that we need to understand, that when we're going through this life, we're not dwelling in the place that our true inhabitants is supposed to be. And so we are going to experience a city that is designed and built by God. Because even we know that Israel today was never designed and built by God. Yeah, God helped them get it, but they took over places that had already been built. They took over cities that had already been built by others. They took over land that had already been tilled and prepared and ready for a harvest by others. So we're waiting for a city just as Abraham that is designed and built by God. And in Revelations, it says that city comes down out of heaven, the city of God, the New Jerusalem. And we truly are the city. Just as we're the temple of God, we truly are the city of God. We are his dwelling place. Mm-hmm. We have the light of God in us now, and we'll have the light of God then, but it will have a greater measure of influencing our lives. But it can still be what we fix our gaze on now. I like the Passion Translation. It says, his eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations. How many know that this world's shaking? I've asked this before, but I mean, how many of you were going to picture us back on November 25th of 2019 going through this year like this? I don't know of any even church prophets that even got this right, that even warned about it, that I know of. I know there had been a few that had some dreams and stuff, but they didn't even know what to do with it at the time. It was so out of what they were, the norm that they had ever seen. But God knew. God knew. And God said, I'll be your source then, just as I was your source, you know, now. And he says, we don't know what next year's going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. My love. I've heard about that, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Can you say what she said out loud?
Yeah, some prophet, a prophet, or I've heard a few say that it was that 2020 was supposed to be a year of rest. Right. And yeah, I guess you could say, excuse me, that we were forced to rest. Yeah, I'm out of liquid.
But they still didn't realize the virus.
Oh, no, they didn't understand what... Exactly. And so the point is that we don't understand what it means that God is the architect and builder of our lives. Thank you. That we can have unshakable foundations. I think it was from singing in that mask.
Mm.
That really makes you hoarse. I wonder if they have singing masks. I don't know how that works. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. But it says that his eyes of faith were set on a city with unshakable foundations whose architect and builder is God himself. That's who we are. We are that city. Our lives are being built by God. It says that he has started the work in us, and he will be faithful and just to fulfill that work that he started in us. But we don't have to sit here and look at life as just like this is our only hope, because we have a future and a hope, and that is in God, and it's not in today. What about someone who's been, like, you know, given a difficult hand of life, you know, sickness and disease all the time, maybe never had any resources for whatever reason, or a third world country where they don't have anything. You know, they're hoping that they're going to have a meal tonight. For them especially, this is important because no matter where they're at in you know, God's kingdom, you know, whether in physically they're in a place of wealth, which we are, we're one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Even our poor live greater than some countries' kings, mm-hmm. frankly, because we're blessed. But there is a dynamic here that, excuse me, there's a dynamic here that we have a hope in God that will give us, you know, confidence for our tomorrows.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and look at another verse because we've got a few verses to cover. Go ahead. Yes. Not get comfortable in the status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life is change. I mean, if anybody has lived a little long, they'll know that nothing stays the same. Right. We're used to having just get in the rut and just drive. Yeah, that's very possible. I believe what the enemy means for evil, anything, anytime in our life, God can make good. And so what the enemy's meant for evil here, to steal, kill, and destroy, because I know personally people that have died, lost loved ones. We did a funeral here a few weeks ago of someone that lost their dad. It wasn't 100% due to COVID, but it did not help the situation. And I know people that have died from COVID. There was a pastor in Zilla that passed away. And so there, or maybe it was Wapato. But yeah, but there's still good that can come out of even those events. We have to believe that. If we don't believe it, then what is faith for? What is our Christianity? If we can't truly say, I don't care what my life looks like today, God can change it and make it better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our hope as Christians. That's a life of faith.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and read this.
Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Right there, our citizenship. So I would say all of us are United States citizens here by physical, you know, blessing. And like I said, the grace of God. We know that he has chosen where we live and our times that we live and the borders that we even live in. So that's all part of God's plan. But our true citizenship is in heaven. The real citizenship. The place that really counts of where we belong is in heaven. It's not of this world. It's not tied to any political party. It's not tied to any, ideological movement. It's tied to the kingdom of God. And our citizenship is with that kingdom. And that means that what that kingdom says, we go by. What that kingdom tells us, and through that's the Holy Spirit, that's through as we learn, as we grow, he leads and guides and directs us and leads us into all truth. And as we learn that, then our life here is then just a reflection of the citizenship that we have in heaven. It shouldn't be that we're living on the earth hoping to go just be in heaven someday. That's God will greatly rejoice and receive us when his loved one comes, but he's going to be disappointed because he had given us everything that pertains to life and godliness now. That would be like, you know, having you know, someone that you inherit, you know, $1 billion from.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, I want you to go and spend it, you know. But we don't believe that it's $1 billion. You know, you say, it can't be $1 billion, you know. And plus, we're not used to spending that much money. So, you know, we spend, you know, $100 million. And, you know, we buy a house. We everything that, you know, our mentality could fit in. And yet we go and we visit them in 10 years. He says, dude, man, I mean, you've got like a lot still to go here. Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm like, no, I mean, you got like, you didn't even do like 1% that you touched. I mean, I don't know if God would call us dude, but I'm just saying, he's going to say, you had so much because your citizenship wasn't where you were at. It was there.
It's an untapped reality that we don't even.
That's why we have to renew our mind.
The struggle is real, but the struggle is within us. It's not. It's our humanness that we're fighting.
Exactly.
Because what God has put in him, there's no more that can go in there of God. He's put all the fullness.
I'm full of God.
Now what he taps into.
That's the key.
That's the key.
And what my mind renews.
And what your mind renews and what you allow your mind to do. I mean, he's in charge of that. And it does make a difference what choices he makes on how much he taps into of God that's already full in him. It's his
billion.
Choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to start recognizing we live so far below our inheritance in Christ. I say it all the time. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to
have life and life
and
abundantly.
Yeah.
He wants us to have a yoke that's not heavy and weighty, or burdens that we carry that we don't need to carry. I mean, his desire for us is to live in an atmosphere, an environment of heaven that brings us freedom and joy, peace. You know, what does it say about the Holy Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit is, what is it? Oh, I'm trying to remember. Hang on. Oh, like righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness,
peace and joy
in the Holy Spirit. That's talking, you know, about, you know, what they were eating and stuff back then, but it was talking about how they were choosing to try to worship God in their way. But it's not how we even conduct ourselves as Christians. It's about his presence in our life.
And you said the word, they were choosing. They had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a choice.
We're not going to make it through this again.
But this next one we really need to read.
I know. Go ahead. This is Titus 3:1-2.
Remind people. That's not talking to us to remind you. That's talking to all of us to remind people.
And
remind
ourselves.
People to respect their governmental leaders on every level.
That is that means you don't you respect, you know, the party that you're affiliated with or the party that you agree with, and the other party, you know, can go to hell in a handbasket. No, you respect the government leaders, whoever they may be, because God can use them. God can take that broken down, hurt vessel, and he can turn the heart of the king whenever he needs to.
Wherever he needs it to go.
Yes. So go ahead.
As law-abiding citizens, and to be ready to fulfill their civic duty, and remind them to never tear down anyone with their words or quarrel, but instead be considerate, humble, and courteous to everyone.
So this is really talking about how we conduct ourselves as we approach a government.
Mm-hmm.
A world system that we may be under, or a governmental system that we may be under, and it's with respect and honor. Now, how does a communist regime, you know, think that you know their people are going to respond to them when they're saying you can't worship and all this stuff? Well, it's telling them how to do it. You still respect them. Doesn't mean that you obey everything that they say, because we have a very, very key scripture that Peter, when they were told not to preach the gospel, they said, well, we can't do that. We can't not preach the gospel, because then we would be obeying men and not God. But when it comes to, like, you know, today we're trying to abide by the laws that are being spoken. It's not, I don't think it's like a law that has been written down anywhere that is like been voted on by a legislature or anything in Washington, but it's our governor and the health system, and they tell us, you know, when you get up from here, put on a mask, and you know, and we're doing that to be respectful and be law-abiding citizens. Why? Just so that we can say, well, we followed those rules. No, so that we can be an example to someone of what it means to have respect for authority. How many know that God is the ultimate authority? And if our kids don't know that we respect regular authority and they see us respecting the police or respecting the armed services or respecting our mayors or whatever,
yes,
or presidents, and they see that
governors.
Yeah, the governors, exactly. They see that inconsiderate or non-humble or non-courteous, however you want to put it, quarrelsome attitude, it's going to be hard for them then, by our way that we've shown them, to be that way in a courteous, humble way towards God.
Right.
Because they don't do always what we say, they do what we do.
Exactly.
So this is why it's important for us to do it. Not so that we can, you know, say, yeah, we followed this rule, but also this is the way that Jesus treated most of the individuals who were even legalistic. He still, you know, spoke nicely to them, except maybe for the Pharisees. Those, you know, he had enough with. But Myla. That's good. Yeah. I think who is it said, preach the gospel, I think at all times, you know, by the way that we live and when necessary, what is it?
When necessary, use your words.
Yeah, that's what you said. Right. But when necessary, use your words. In other words, our lives should be the message that we preach, you know.
Yeah.
Because Paul very clearly told one of the churches, you are my letter that I've wrote. As you live, you're living out the letter, even though it hasn't been written with human hands, it's been written by the Holy Spirit, and he wrote on your hearts. And that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So wherever we are, we're supposed to be conducting ourselves.
And the thing is that as ambassadors for Christ, wherever we are, there he is. So wherever we go, he is there. So if you go into, you know, a den of thieves for whatever reason, he's there with you. And that kingdom that's inside of you, not outside of you, it's inside of you, can influence that very den of thieves or that brood of vipers or whatever you want to call it, you know, as far as Washington, D.C. goes, you know, bank of liars or something like that, you know, because they all have kind of their cliches behind them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to get us to understand here is that, and we didn't get to the real meat that I wanted to, but what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we are under a heavenly government. And because we're under a heavenly government, a heavenly kingdom, a dominion, that means it should rule and reign us. It should rule and reign our hearts. It should be what causes us to have joy and causes us to have a source for when everything in our natural view looks contrary to being happy, we should be able to have a joy and a happiness, mm-hmm, and a contentment. That's why through all of this craziness, and it has been craziness, I don't think I've ever really been like depressed. Because I've just said, you know, Lord, you got this. Because he does. You know, and it's, you know, it's like approaching this service this morning, I said, Gaya, I didn't get that one thing. And, you know, it's like at a certain point, you just have to say, can't do it. And just say, Lord, you know. And, you know, we're family here, and this is not about being perfect or having perfection. This is about hopefully our hearts being changed and us becoming who God wants us to be, so that we are that light and that example of Christ, and that it can preach the gospel. And so we have a few more verses for next week. I don't think we can get through them today. Does anyone else have anything else to share? Myla? What's that?
The world's way of disagreeing is the world's way.
Quarreling and fighting.
To fight hate and fight violence and fight anger and fight harsh words with gentle words and with peace and with love. Because that is something that only Christians can do when we have Jesus with us.
Right.
Because we can do it from a human standpoint and try to do it by our own will.
Doesn't carry weight. Yeah. That's good.
If we can't do it, who's gonna?
Amen.
If we want to see a loving world, a happy world, a peaceful world,
it's up to us.
Yeah. Did you have something, Herman? Oh, okay. Oh, you do have something? Oh, okay. All right. So, I thought you did, but okay, no worries. Anyone else? No one today, huh? Praise the Lord. I know you probably have something, Roger and Cindy, if you're still there. Are you seeing them, Jesse?
No, I went to the soundboard.
Oh, you went to the soundboard. He's trying to catch up. He's like, this has been 6 months of not here. Well, I just want to let you guys know that we love you. But most of all, the Lord loves you, and He is working in your life. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care how, distracted you may be because of issues that are going on. He is for you. He's not against you. And that if you give Him time, because that's what it takes sometimes, He will make whatever is in your life turn out for good. He will cause His light to shine on you in the greatest darkness. And I've seen it happen in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Who?
Tim.
Oh. Oh, neat. Oh, Tim.
Yeah.
Nice. Once you said St. Martin, I thought you were saying Ken.
No.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I must have, my ears must have plugged from that mask. These things are the devil.
Yeah,
Stephen hates wearing them, so I'm starting to agree with him. Yes. You have some congestion?
Yeah, rather than getting the mask that catches underneath your chin, maybe get one of those like baklavas that just kind of hang down.
Baklava?
Yeah, kind of like the kind that doesn't, it just hangs.
Oh, gotcha.
Baklava
is it? Dessert.
I'm so over that one.
Get some baklava.
Bring the baklava right here.
All right. Well, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we can social distance fellowship for a bit. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for you being the one that has dominion over us. Lord, that we're not of this world, Lord, but we're of your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us in these coming days, just have that reality hit us as a truth, and that we would see, Lord, how your kingdom is so contrary to the world as it changes and transforms our thinking, so that, as Myla said, we would not be quarrelsome and fighting, Lord, but that we would be ones that convey peace and impart love and impart joy, Lord, impart truth, Lord, that our lives would be the lives that would speak the gospel out loud without even saying a word. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Lord, that that you're causing all things to work together for our good in these days. And no matter what happens on November 3rd, and no matter if chaos takes place, Lord, we trust you that you've got our tomorrows, and that we will be with you when this life ends in a place that is built and architected by you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
We love you.